Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place for everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder, and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you for a second time, part two, as promised. Sabir, he's a master when it comes to, you know, e-commerce. He has made over 1 billion in sales, and that's not an easy thing to say. I don't know, actually, a lot of people that have generated that volume of revenue when it comes to e-commerce. And one of the things I love about Sabir is his methodology, the 8D methodology that we actually, on the first part, we already covered four of the main dimensions that he strongly basically suggest that every single e-commerce founder should implement their business to double their sales. And that's what we're going to do now in part two. We're going to cover the other four dimensions that we didn't cover in that first part. And I'm very excited because I'm sure there's still some gold nuggets, hidden into those other four dimensions. So Sabir, for a second time, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Vincenzo. It's great to be here again. I think we had a blast last time. Let's up it a notch, you know?
Yeah. Let's do it. So I remember, I think for those that, of course, are coming from the first part, I think it's good that we have a refresh about just high level what were those four dimensions. I remember we talk about performance, we talk about pricing, we talk about
marketing,
and then the final one was placement. Is that correct? Yeah,
it's product positioning and brand building.
Position, exactly. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So those four we covered already.
Awesome. So now those four, just to conclude on that, I think, they are the backbone for most Amazon sellers. Just to quickly do a summary in there, because as we covered on the first part, and we actually were laughing, both of us, in the first part, like all Amazon sellers are getting those four dimensions wrong, right? And I'm intrigued now to learn also about these next four dimensions, because by the time we cover the eight dimensions, most Amazon sellers, when they see all the things that they're missing, they're going to have so much homework, and they're going to realize that at the end of the day, it's not that the Amazon market is tough, which it is. It's tough, but at the same time, they are missing the core foundation of an e-commerce business, which you're basically breaking down in such an amazing way. So, Sabir, the floor is yours. Let's start with those remaining four dimensions. Let's start with dimension number five.
So, dimension number five is customer user experience, right?
Okay.
And typically, what I hear from Amazon sellers is, but it's just an Amazon product page, right? I cannot really do anything with that, right? What do you mean user experience? Amazon controls that. No, Amazon gives you a lot of control, you know,
to exactly
do a lot of things with that page. It's just an understanding how you do it, right? But, you know, not part of the Amazon, you know, the first dimension where we talked about was the performance optimization, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to do that. When it comes to in this part of the dimension, when it has to do with the customer, Amazon actually has given you a lot of different tools. Let's start with the sub-dimension within customer content, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to the content on your PDP page, Amazon product page, or your brand store page, there's a lot of space for you to tell your story. And actually, that was dimension number four, brand story, product story, right? Mm-hmm. In number five, you have to identify who are you selling to.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm important. Selling to Amazon customer. Yeah, there are over 200 million of them. Who is your customer?
Yeah.
It's great that Amazon gives you 212 plus million active shoppers on the platform, right? Especially in the US, right? It gives you that many active shoppers. What are you doing with them? Who are they, right? Who should be interested? You sell pet products. I don't have any pets. Am I your customer? No. So you have to identify who your customers are. If your product is versatile and it works for different types of people, right? Or different types of pets, different types of environments, those are your customers, right?
Yeah.
And then you could tell that story in your bullet points, in your product description, in your A+ content, if you have brand registry. On your brand store, you could have a page where you're actually describing that. And better yet, don't just do it through textual description or photos. You could do videos. You could do product video explaining that. Video number two. Video number one could be your product. Video number two could be you're talking to specific use cases for each type of a customer you have that should be interested in this product, right?
Yeah.
For example, let's go with a supplement, right? A vitamin supplement. In part one, we use cat water fountain, right? So this time I want to change it up a little bit, you know? So let's say it's a vitamin product, and there are a lot of health and wellness sellers, Amazon sellers on the platform.
Yep.
Right. By the way, historically, I helped Amazon launch that vertical.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's crazy. Stuff,
you know,
that's
crazy. I have my hand in a lot of the data files you see, flat files. I had my hand in that design, you know.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning, right? So when it comes to customer UX, let's say, you know, you sell a vitamin that, let's make it melatonin, right? Melatonin is for sleep, right? If you're having sleep issues, you take melatonin, it helps regulate your sleep so that you have deeper sleep, right? Mm-hmm. That's a supplement product that's sold on the Amazon platform. Now, if you remove yourself from the product, the purpose of it is for you to get sleep.
Correct.
Who needs to get better sleep? I can think of many people, right? Many specific people. If you work in the office, you want your sleep, those 8 hours, to really count. Because next day when you go to work, you want to be refreshed. You want to be energetic. Yeah. You want to really be ready for work, right? Not be sleepy, lethargic, stuff like that, right? So that's one type of a customer who would buy from you. What is the type two of the customer? School student. You're studying hard. You're going to all those lectures in college or high school or secondary school. You want your sleep. You're not getting enough sleep because you're stressed out because of the exams coming up, quizzes coming up. You have to do your homework, all of those. You see, as I'm saying this, Vincenzo, I can see the smile on your face because I think I may have given you PTSD from college days.
I remember those days.
Right? You want that sleep, and you want that sleep to be worthwhile, right? So the second type of customer that you're attracting for this melatonin product that you sell is school students. Type three is a homemaker, stay-at-home mom. She is very busy. She gets tired during the day, taking care of her home, taking care of all of her babies. And some go to school. Some of them are still babies at home. They're crawling. They're toddlers. Some of them might be in high school, right? She's busy taking care of, running around, in her car, taking the kids to school, bringing them back, feeding them, making sure all of that, right? She's stressed out. She's like tired. But when she goes to sleep, she wants to make sure that it's meaningful sleep, right?
Yeah.
That's a third type, right? And what is type number four? Type number four for melatonin use is athletes or people who do bodybuilding. When do you grow your muscles? You grow most of your muscles at rest, when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And you want that sleep to be meaningful because you worked out in the gym for an hour to 8 hours maybe, right? Because you're a professional bodybuilder, right? So each one of these things, these are four different use cases I just gave you, right? For each one of them, you can tell a story. You can imagine it in your head right now. Those are four videos you could add to the product videos. You could hire them. You can go on Billo. Billo.app is a platform. It's a SaaS platform that have influencers that actually make amazing videos with your product.
Yeah.
You can send them.
And it's very affordable. It's affordable.
You can tell them, hey, you are a bodybuilder. I want you to talk about my melatonin, but you talk about it in the context of how you work out. So I want you to show in the video that you're working out, you're posing, you're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And then you say that the reason you take melatonin is for you to rest deeper so that your muscles can get better and they can also rest and build, right? So because of recovery time, right? You want to do that for the homemaker, for the housewife. I want you to show that you're running to school, taking your kids, doing household chores, doing gardening, doing this, doing that, your busy day, and you want to show that video. That's what I want you to shoot for that. The student, now this is a 20-year-old influencer that you have hired. She's showing you that she's going to school. She's studying for exams. She's doing Pomodoro method for her studying and whatever have you, right? She's doing all those things. And like, you know, the reason she takes the melatonin is to relieve her stress and have a deeper sleep, right? The guy who's going to office, he wants to be well-rested because you want to show him in the context of he's presenting in a business setting. He's talking to his team. He's sitting at his computer working really hard and diligently. When I say office work, it doesn't have to be an office work with very corporate. Office work could mean that he's a musician. And he goes into the music studio and he's making music. And he, what he wants to do is he wants to calm his nerves, you know, by getting good sleep with this melatonin. That's another type, right? Now, if you take a frame from each one of them, that could be a photo you could put in the A+ content. If you have A++ premium, A+ premium, you could do videos on there, right?
Yeah.
And then you could put you can take the caption of or the subtitles from the video, whatever they're saying, turn them into a little blurb, you can put it next to it. So you're showing different context of use for your product. In the customer user experience dimension, what we optimize is making relatable stories and recognizing and acknowledging our customers.
Yeah.
Because if you are a student, Vincenzo, and you see that melatonin is telling a story related to a student,
I connect.
Which product are you going to buy? Are you going to buy the product that shows you the video and the photo and tells you a story through text and photo and video and the reviews are coming in related to that? Or are you going to buy some generic melatonin product?
Yeah, of course. The one that is tailored. And I think to build on your point, something I see all the time is that when people launch the products on Amazon to do content, they just copy what people are doing on Amazon. Most people are doing it wrong. Like they just go generic. They use the similar kind of avatar in the picture that don't really connect to any kind of audience. And a pro tip that actually I'm going to add on top of yours, which we use internally and it works very well. When we run advertisement campaigns, let's say in your case, your example for melatonin for a specific usage, let's say we're targeting keywords related to students. When we run ads on that specific keyword, we only show the video of the student. Or we do a campaign targeting people that use a keyword related to a sport, we use the video of the people only using sport with a product. So that's an extra layer you can add on top of that, like going beyond the listing, you know.
That's part of the customer user experience dimension. You get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also when you're doing that, you're not doing it only on the product page. Now you can take this rich content you have built, including one frame of it. You could do photo based, so you can do you could be doing performance max ads with Amazon attribution, external traffic, so you can get brand credit. Right? You should enroll. Yeah. Every brand should, if they have a brand registry, they should enroll in brand credit. So that when you're bringing all this social traffic, paid media traffic, right, from Google ads and TikTok ads and all these kind of platforms to your Amazon listing, you can get, when they make the purchase, you are getting also a kickback from Amazon also for making that purchase happen because you're bringing external traffic from it also, right? So that's one type. The other type is for you to understand, and actually Amazon is getting better. I would say that in the past 3 months to 6 months, they have done a great job of introducing new features to the Seller Central, right? Where it allows you to, like, and some features, okay, let's go with the old school stuff. One feature being, if you have an FBA product, they allow you to, after you gain a certain amount of ratings and you have enough FBA inventory, you have subscribe and save, right? Mm-hmm. Subscribe and save, you should understand, like, that's your retention policy, right? When you have a retention policy, meaning that people who bought that, let's keep on going with this melatonin example, right? They bought that melatonin, they used it, they love it. Are you expecting them to keep on coming back and doing add to cart, right? When you have a product like that, you should put in a ridiculous offer, to get more people into Subscribe and Save. And Amazon allows you to do discounts on your Subscribe and Save program. Yeah. The default is 10%, and it gives you a nice conversion uplift when you do 10%. And then Amazon actually funds another 5%. If the basket is big enough for the consumer, they'll give them 15% off, not 10%. But they're funding the 5%, right? However, if you have certain times of the year where you know customers are in the market, but melatonin is a problem 365 days out of the year. So that's good. However, you could utilize Prime Day. You could use you can use the holidays. You could use Mother's Day, Father's Day. You could come up with these excuses, right, to actually put the product on a special. Because most people, what they think is, oh, price promotion. Oh, Sabir said we should give discounts, so I'm going to put apply coupon to one-time purchase.
Yeah.
What I do, what I ask people to do, you could do that from time to time. You should, you know, to bring and increase your rankings, but because it gives you that extra legend on the search listing and stuff. So that's good. However, what makes it better is give them an extra bonus on your Subscribe and Save. Get them to, instead of 15, you know, if it's 15% off all in, give them 20% off for a time period, for a short period of time, for 7 days, 10 days, for 2 days, right? When Prime Day is running, make it, you know, that any, so what happens is when people see that, oh, if I do Subscribe and Save, I'm going to get 20% off. And most people, when they go on the Subscribe and Save, they rarely come off of it.
No.
So some brands think, and actually it's funny, this morning I had a client said to me, well, why are you giving so much discount away on Subscribe and Save? What if they subscribe and save and then they leave, right? Mm. Meaning that they got the benefit and then they cancel.
Yeah.
So one of the team members actually brought out the report and said, last time we did execute this strategy, right? And he's right. Nobody left.
Yeah.
And we are on this curve of like continuous growth.
Some people even forget. They leave it on forever, even if they don't need the product.
Set it and forget it. They set it and that's it. It comes in, they keep on taking it. And it's great. It's one last thing for the consumer to worry about, right?
Exactly.
It's great for them. But they have the convenience of canceling it. It's right there in the subscription center. You can go in or remove the thing. But from data, from actual data, they didn't do that. They didn't do that, right? So when you have a business and you have the Subscribe and Save enabled, let's say for the first time, right? Give a ridiculous amount, you know, a ridiculous discount like 30% off, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're even if you're breaking even, meaning that you're not losing money, but and you're not gaining anything. What you're gaining is a subscription. From that second purchase, the second auto ship that goes out, you're gonna make your money.
Yeah, you focus on the lifetime value, which is something I feel a lot of Amazon sellers don't focus on. They focus
they're very transactional
on the tag, on the tag, on what happens now, on the profit now. They don't focus on the growth of the brand long term, and that's a big mistake. Most of them do as well. Yeah.
And think about now what happens if you're keeping the same ad set for your Amazon ads, right? Same. You're landing them on that product page. What happens to your ROAS? Skyrockets. Right? So you're getting the benefit of Amazon ads going high. Subsequently, because your sell-through has increased, your ranking is going to increase. And if you're driving external traffic and you're targeting certain organic keywords through that attribution link, right? You're also, that's what you're getting is one, you're getting brand credit. And number two, you're getting higher ranking on that organic keyword also.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you're being intelligent about like a feature like Subscribe and Save. It's not just, oh, they're going to auto ship. Your goal, you should obsess about this is the only thing I could do with retention. I cannot do email marketing. I cannot do retargeting. I cannot do any of the things I could do on a Shopify site. I cannot do that on Amazon. Right.
Yeah.
But the Subscribe and Save, if you can think about it strategically, you could set up your business on autopilot, literally, that your base foundation for your customer sales from this customer UX feature, you're getting a certain auto ship every month. Wouldn't you love to have that? Like 10,000 orders go out automatically. Now your effort is based on building on top of this 10,000 orders or 1,000 orders, right? On top of it, now you're building your business of, let me acquire new keywords. Let me do external traffic. Let me do Amazon ads. Hey, I could do Kindle advertising. Let me try that out. Now your stress level goes down because you are shipping 1,000 bottles out every month, 10,000 bottles out every month without trying. All you're doing above it, now there might be some recruitment period you can do to say that, okay, now I have acquired so many new customers that are coming in. Let me try to do subscribe and save to get more people. Now you bring out that 20 to 30% off on subscribe and save. You put them through. Now you're looking at the subscription center becomes your analytics page for you, for your brand.
Yeah.
That's your homepage for your analytics, for your brand.
I know. That's good. Yeah, I mean, you said perfectly. Like, I feel like that's really where a brand should be aiming for, like really building that recurring revenue, because at the end of the day, what kills most businesses is cash flow. And if you don't build a system where you don't need to every single day stress out about how you're going to get another client through that door, otherwise you don't have revenue coming in, that's where most brands unfortunately die. So yeah, save and subscribe is something we try to push so hard on most of our brands, and focus, especially in 2024 where things are getting so tough in lifetime value. I feel the days of only focusing on transactional results on the first point of content are coming towards an end, because I mean, unless you sell something like a furniture, if you sell a bed, yes, maybe it's only once, but most pros, they have multiple points of content, and that's where people
miss. But your pillowcases, if you sell pillowcases with that furniture, that could be on a subscription cycle, right? Mm-hmm. If you sell socks, that could be every month you could be sending them out, or underwear or undershirt, you know. Yep. There are creative ways of doing that add-on sale by having that in your portfolio. And especially if I'm selling that furniture, on that A plus page, I'm going to show the context of all these other products that I also sell that go with that furniture. And people are a creature of habit. When they see, especially men shoppers, when they see a photo or video, that's what they want to buy. In case of women shoppers, they would try to be creative with doing mixing and matching and doing different things, but still they need ideas for you to be giving them those ideas. But in case of men, if they see a mannequin that's wearing head to toe something, they want to buy exactly that. Right? Understanding that consumer psychology is important from that perspective. One other thing that's a big, big miss in this, in the customer UX, is people obsess, Amazon sellers obsess about ratings and reviews, right? They want to get more than 10 reviews because somebody said conversion rate goes up. True. Yes, it does. But in your category, people have 10,000 reviews. What does that mean to you then, right? Yeah. But what they are missing is that they should definitely do that. They should make sure that, you know, they're getting reviews. But the part that they miss is community management part of it, right? The review section and the Q&A section is an opportunity for the brands to engage with the people who bought your product. Yeah. And especially if they're having a great time with your product or a bad time with your product, you need to engage with them. And Amazon is within, within the TOS, right? So you're not going to get penalized as long as you don't tell them to go to my Shopify site. I have this. Don't do that. You know,
exactly.
You're going to get kicked out and you're going to be delisted. Don't do that. Right. However, when somebody's asking you, is this product gluten-free? This product, this melatonin product, you and I, Vincenzo, we just created a vitamin company. We're selling this melatonin product, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's asking you, is this gluten-free? And that comment stays there because you didn't say it on the label. You didn't say it anywhere on the product page. Somebody's asking you that question. They asked it in the Q&A. They asked you in the reviews. And all you hear is crickets from the brand. No response.
I know.
You need to manage that. As much as you manage your social media and your live chat on your Shopify site, right? Whether you have reviews on Amazon, Walmart, Target, Etsy, Shopify, doesn't matter. That's an opportunity for you to do community management. You need to engage with that. And you can say, if somebody says, hey, I don't know, it's 16, it says 16.5, but it's not, I don't know if it's centimeters or inches.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's content I'm missing from my product description. I need to fix my product description and then come back here and go like, thank you for pointing that out. We have fixed the description. Yes, it's 16.5 centimeters.
Exactly.
And it's
A8,
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're responding the question, because many people do go into the Q&A to actually find, they would type in vegan, they would put in some technical definition to see if it's, is it kosher, is it halal, is it vegetarian, is it vegan, is this a choking hazard for kids, you know, whatever. They're asking those kind of questions, and you should definitely do community management and customer service and engage with that. If they are doing it in the reviews, do that. When people give you negative review, right? If it's a legitimate negative review, don't get angry, because that person actually raised their hand and they told you what's wrong with your product.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to improve.
There are 99 other consumers that didn't tell you and they just walked away from your brand.
Exactly.
So that person is doing a great service to your brand. It would be a disservice from you if you get angry at that person and go like, you don't know what you're talking about, get the hell out, you know, whatever. Some brands do that, and it's a big disservice to the brand. You are creating a disservice to the brand as a founder of the brand, right?
Yeah.
You should actually do proper customer service within T's and C's, you know, TOS. Don't say like, hey, if you take back the negative review, we'll give you another bottle of whatever, right? Don't do that, because you're gonna get penalized for that. However, legitimately thank them and say that, okay, we did take your recommendations and we have actually forwarded to the product development people, our merchandising team, blah, blah, blah. And be very authentic. Don't lie. If you are actually doing that, if the lid keeps on coming off of your tomato sauce and somebody's telling you that this is what happened,
take action.
And they're showing you the photos that it happened, right? Don't get angry. That's amazing information that you should take and put the tapes on the thing. Make sure that I got your melatonin, but I ordered it in July. It was all melted.
Good. Now, I mean, this dimension is amazing, and I know there's so many verticals we can go from here, but overall, I think, you know, we covered the main things in terms of, you know, what people are really missing to tailor their offers towards the right audience. Now, let's jump into dimension 6, like, what you have for us for this
dimension 6. If you're an Amazon seller, you need to have the right tech stack. It's not enough for you to be just on Amazon Seller Central with the tools Amazon gives you. There are a ton of amazing tools out there, right? Some tools obviously market the product as an Amazon tool, like Helium 10, Jungle Scout, Carbon 6. You know, these are amazing platforms, right, that are complementary to Seller Central, right? You should definitely have a subscription to one of those. And a platform like Helium 10 also has their training programs that are actually taught by a good friend of mine, Kevin King, right?
He's very good.
He actually lectures you on what the right things to do. I had him on my show too, and we are great friends. So, you know, you get that training. I think it requires a certain level of membership, I believe. I don't know if it's platinum or diamond.
I think it's the highest one.
They give you access to his training, amazing training content, Helium 10. Also, even from a blog standpoint, Jungle Scout, you know, has great content there too. But those are kind of the basics, right? But then when you, in the day and age in 2024, when you need, as a seller, Amazon seller, you need 17 different arms, not just two that God gave you, right? AI helps you with that. But knowing and understanding how to use AI properly, right? So to enhance your listings, to enhance your selling, to enhance your analytics that you're getting out of Amazon, there are also AI tools that you could use too, that complementary. And you could search for these things, because there are a lot of them are launching on top of Claude AI, on top of ChatGPT AI, GPT-4, GPT-3.5, and also on Claude 3. Opus is the platform. It's amazing. And also Google Gemini, for example, right? On top of it, there are APIs that have been built and apps that have been built that actually do a great job of enhancing your selling, whether you're doing Shopify or on Amazon. And you could do actually comparative things. What AI is great for, it can compartmentalize things that you are not seeing as a human being. So if you take PDFs of your page, a PDF print of your competition, give it to AI and say that this is my product, this is my three competitors. Tell me what's missing from mine that my competition does a better job of. And you'll be surprised how it actually analyzes those four PDF files and comes back to you with analytics related to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. That you could do your own. You don't need a separate app. You can use Claude AI or ChatGPT.
Exactly.
It's harder to do it on Google Gemini. You have to copy and paste it or put it into your Google Doc or Google Drive in order to do that. But on Claude AI and also on ChatGPT, it's very easy to attach a PDF to do that, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there are the tech stack matters. And this is just on the selling side of it. The big thing that you get penalized on Amazon, you have to obsess about this part of it, is logistics related to tech. Your tech needs to be connected, really integrated really well into your warehouse, right? If you warehouse your product and then you send it for FBA, that needs to be lock and step. The data that you're pulling out of Amazon and you're monitoring it, whether and Helium 10 and Jungle Scout and Carbon 6 do a great job with all of the apps that they have. Mm-hmm. You can connect your Seller Central account to pull the data out so that you can analyze it further and find opportunities to sell better, to provide better customer service, and on all sorts of things like that. They do a great job of doing that, right? So it's not like it's a nice to have, it's a need to have. You really need to have, as an Amazon seller, if you're serious about growth, you need to have control over your Amazon business, and especially when it comes to FBA and other types of things like that, especially if you're doing FBM, meaning that you're responsible for shipping, that if the order is dropped from Amazon to you, to your warehouse to get that order out, you have to treat it almost as if you're doing FBA. Yes. You're competing against FBA. And on top of it, because we're talking in 2024, right? What's great is SFP has been enrollment has been opened up. SFP is Seller Fulfilled Prime. Mm-hmm. Seller Fulfilled Prime is equivalent of Prime Badge that you get, but you are fulfilling it. So if you're doing FBM, enroll in SFP program, but you have to 100% make sure that you meet FBA KPIs.
That's a tricky part.
That's a tricky part. But if you're managing that warehouse, you will get those orders out. If you're working with a 3PL, you have to stay on top of them to get those orders out. And if this 3PL has made mistakes in the past, you need to fire that 3PL and move on to another 3PL that actually has amazing KPIs like that. Because getting that SFP designation, which required that's a hard designation to get.
Difficult.
But if you can get it, you're getting a prime check and you're fulfilling the order. So you're avoiding all the FBA fees.
Yeah, it's all crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
Fees, all of that.
Yeah.
And you're controlling most of it. And now you can control the packaging and what you're doing with it, the things that you had no control over when you were doing FBA.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, from the perspective of how sellers are really analyzing their data, unfortunately, most people, they rely only on Seller Central, and that's a huge mistake. Like the amount of data you get there is so basic, at least from the dashboard perspective, that you really don't have a clue about what is happening in your business. And it's funny because sometimes I have met sellers that, you know, they're kind of cheap and they want to figure it out on their own. They want to download the Excel sheets and do it on their own. Like, I can tell you, like, try to make any sense of all that data if you don't have any kind of experience when it comes to creating dashboards and everything, it's going to be a mess. So 100%, like, getting a tool such as Helium 10 or what Carbon 6 has to offer is a must. And I feel for what you pay in exchange to the extra insights you're going to get because of those tools, it's a no-brainer, because otherwise you're kind of running your business blind. And that's what most people, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even know their numbers. They don't know their profit margin. They don't know if they're losing money. They're making money. They're winning market share. They're losing market share. They don't have a clue.
Unfortunately, most of them look at their top line revenue as cash in the bank.
Yeah.
And that's a gigantic mistake in business. It's not what people are paying you, it's what you get to keep is your cash flow, not what made into your bank. You still owe the manufacturer the money that you need to pay back. you know, exactly. And other employees, Fiverr people, whatever, you know, you have to. It's what you keep, and that's your cash flow, not what Amazon tells you there, that's what they passed along to your checking account, right? Yeah. And that's where a lot of Amazon sellers actually get into trouble. And by the way, while I was talking about tech, I also brought in the seventh dimension being logistics, you know? Mm. So dimension seven is logistics. And especially with Amazon, you cannot mess around, right? No. One of the things, especially into 2024, one of the KPIs that have changed is actually it's twofold. One, in order for you to actually rank better, you should have 90 days of your inventory of selling on FBA at all times, right?
Okay.
And if you're before in the past, people would be keeping it very short, like every 2 weeks or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But that has increased to like 90 days now, 90 days of supply. If you have more than that, if you have too much more than that, you're penalized because now you're using storage that you don't have sell through on. Or if it's too short, then you're getting penalized and you're not getting ranked properly. So it's affecting
you. They also add a new fee for that now. If you don't have enough inventory, there's also a fee that they penalize you. So actually now in both sides, before it was too much, but now if too much or if you don't have enough, both you get penalized. So it's true. Like logistics now is a must. It's super important. Yeah.
Yep. And in case of FBM, there is a way for you to, like I told you the pluses of doing FBM, but you should also apply for the SFP as long as you know you can get the orders out. Because they test you for the first 100 orders, but to give you the SFP designation, and then you have a prime check. The only difference one of the differences between SFP and FBA is that you cannot do subscribe and save, right? That's the only negative thing. But in that case, what I would recommend you do, if you get the SFP designation, send some inventory into FBA also, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can get the subscribe and save, right? So that you're benefiting on both sides of it, and you could also be fulfilling on, so that to cover the time period that if you run out of stock on FBA, you don't get penalized because you're doing it SFP while you're working on your inventory to backfill it into FBA again. Or you're in a category. There's a category called meltable inventories. I don't know if you know that term. Mm-hmm. Meltable inventories means that you're selling gummy bears, chocolate, anything that melts during the summer months because of hot weather, right? If you have that inventory, playing this balancing game of FBA with SFP or FBM is reality for you. You have to do that on a daily basis, right? From April 15th to October 15th is the time period that's considered meltable inventory. So if you're selling any category that's prone to being meltable, it could be gummy bears and vitamins. It could be, so this melatonin product, if it was a gummy bear, it would be meltable inventory, right? But if it was a capsule or a tablet, it won't be, right? But if it was a chocolate, for example, if it's a chocolate product you're selling, that's considered meltable inventory. So in that case, Amazon actually asks you to remove your FBA inventory, or you can ask them to discard it for you, right? And they charge you a fee for that, right?
Yeah.
So you have to understand what that means. And also for brands that have a bigger product catalog, meaning that they sell 200 products and they don't want to put all 200 products on FBA, right? They want to put their best sellers on FBA, but the long tail of it, they want to do FBM or SFP. Mm-hmm. You have to think about how you want to separate that out. If you're selling variation of a product, you want to sell these three colors on FBA. The other 27 colors, you want to have it through FBM or SFP. So you can actually do a hybrid model like that to do combination of it. So if somebody wants that strange pink color, whatever, you don't sell that many, but you have it in your warehouse, you could list it and you can fulfill it through FBM and SFP, right? Yeah. But the black color, the white color, and the blue color, those three colors are very popular. You're going to do FBA on those colors. The same applies to, you know, flavors. It applies to the sizes of clothing and stuff like that. Popular size clothing number 6 size in women, you have it in FBA. Size 12 and up, you have it in FBM, right? So you can be smart about that in this dimension. When we talk about this dimension, it has to be customer service, A lot of it for Amazon sellers has to do with FBA, FBM, and SFB, right? And understanding if you have a Shopify site or in this area and also tech, we also think about Buy with Prime. Buy with Prime program allows you to actually have a blue button, just like, you know, you have Express Checkout with Apple Pay on Shopify site. You could have Buy with Prime. So why, especially in a market like the U.S., you have like 70% of households in the U.S. are Prime members.
Exactly.
So if you have a Prime check, that's why it wins. But if you have a blue button that you have FBA inventory at Amazon, they press the blue button on your Shopify site, it pops open just like Google authentication. It's an Amazon authentication. You say that, yes, that's my address. This is the card I want to pay with. And it's good. You
press zero that. Friction. Very
zero,
fast.
Zero friction. Why would you want to do that? Because some brand owners would say that, but
yeah, they don't want to give the
data. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay Amazon fees. Why are you doing that? Why? Because that person is going to go on Amazon and try to find you on Amazon because they have Prime membership. And you just spend a ton of money on Facebook ads and you think that ad is not working. But if you had the Prime badge and you know that conversion actually happened, but this was just like Apple Pay, this was just another payment method. It was Buy with Prime. The good thing is, you don't have to deal with that order being fulfilled from your warehouse. Amazon is going to take care of it.
Yeah. On top of that, it adds the confidence because when you see the Amazon logo, you don't feel it's a fishy website, right? You feel like, oh, the Amazon logo is here. Like, I can log on my account. Like, it removes that friction that unfortunately is what makes D2C brands struggle a lot, like creating that trust that, you know, a marketplace bring to the table. So, yeah.
Yeah, in that scenario, then you're content with 99% rejection and 1% conversion rate on your Shopify. That's what it is. That's a typical conversion rate for most Shopify sites, you know?
I know. It's crazy.
But that 1% could go up to like 3%. Like you can triple your Shopify sales by having Amazon Buy with Prime and Amazon could fulfill that order for you. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
And because it got fulfilled through Amazon, that's considered a verified purchase also.
Good. Now, we are coming towards the last dimension.
Number eight.
So, and then of course, I will be intrigued to, you know, have a closure about how all these dimensions are going to get connected. But yeah, let's cover what is this last dimension about and why maybe it's the last one.
Yeah, this is the last one. So seven dimensions, you could have a lot of issues with these seven dimensions I mentioned. And and I put this one at the last dimension because I want them to be the last to be blamed. Because I want to fix my website. I want to fix my price, my marketing, my product positioning, brand building, right? Everything that I've described, the tech is great, the fulfillment is great. I'm not blaming anyone, right? Number eight is your team. Number eight dimension is your team. And what I mean by team is anyone that touches your brand. The guy who comes in and picks up your freight from your warehouse to take it to FBA warehouse, that's part of your team. Amazon fulfilling that order, and there's something wrong that happened because this one warehouse that Amazon has is getting a lot of complaints, right? In Kansas City specifically, whatever, right? That's part of your team. The Fiverr guys you hired to do your Amazon images, right? The Billow people you hired that did your videos for you. You, as the founder of the company. Your mom that helps you put the product together. The team you have in China that's putting the manufacturing together, right? The label that comes from Vietnam, right? For that. Your VA that works in Philippines. All of that is your team. All of it. Everyone. Anyone that touches your brand is your team. And your entire team needs to understand the brand ethos, your product positioning. They understand when you're doing what you're doing so that when there's an inventory issue, everybody's on the same page.
Love it.
And then if you say, Vincenzo, but I cannot get my Fiverr guy to show up to a Zoom call, a weekly Zoom call. I cannot do that, Sabir. What are you talking about? You as a founder, you are responsible. You are responsible for whatever they are telling you, you need to bring it. And on a weekly basis, on every Monday, whatever your start of your week is, every Monday, 9 a.m., you get everybody to show up on that Zoom call. And it's not enough for you to do Slack channel. You cannot say, oh, I have a Slack. I have Trello, Asana. I got all, I'm all teched up, Sabir, from dimension number six, yeah. Sabir. No, that's not enough. Tech is great. I'm an engineer. I can tell you that tech is great, right?
Yeah.
But there is something to be said with human interaction also. Mm-hmm. Even if your teams are in remote locations, you need to have 9 a.m. Monday morning, all hands. You do a Zoom call for 30 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever is needed with an agenda. And as the owner of the company, your responsibility to do all of that, right? You have to bring everybody in. You have to set the agenda. Just like with each one of these dimensions, each one of this could be the meeting agenda.
Yeah.
Each one of these things. Okay, what are we doing in marketing? How is our product positioning going? What's happening with that below video that we were working on, that project, right? Every one of these things is a meeting agenda for your team every Monday. And after do that, you take that Zoom video, you share it in your Slack channel, so that anyone who missed it, they can watch it also.
Exactly. But
they better not be missing it, because it's a once a week you're doing that. And everybody is going about running, doing the things they need to do, right? And then from it, you should have now Zoom has AI built into it. Or you can connect it to a tool like Otter that gives you meeting notes. Yeah. It gives you to-do items that you, as you're describing it and discussing it, you say, oh, that's a to-do item. It will pick it up and put it as a to-do item in there. And you have to do a follow through, like what happened last week. Let's go through the results. Let's go through where we had issues. Why didn't we get the shipment out to FBA? Oh, our labeling company from Vietnam didn't send us the labels. All of that needs to be synced up on a weekly basis. You need to do that. You have to stay on top of it. And if anything is not happening, you cannot blame people. It's you. You're the founder of the company. You are responsible. You could be yelling at the top of your lungs, yelling at people. At the end of the day, you miss something. Because the thing is, you need to have communication and collaboration very open, right? So that everybody's on the same page. Everybody understands it. And Slack doesn't take its place in place of the Zoom. You have to do your Zoom meeting. And then on the Slack channel is a follow through. So as people are executing those things, they're putting a green check mark with comments about what happened. So that you're collecting those feedback, and then you are engaging with it too and running your company, and you're giving it an update next week when you start your next week's meeting, right?
Yeah.
So collaboration is important. In e-commerce, the number one reason for most failures is not pricing and margins and all that. Number one failure is communication.
Yeah.
Communication is the number one failure. Oh, by the way, agencies are part of your team. Web dev companies that you hire to do your A-plus content and Shopify design, that's part of your team too, right? So that needs to be part of that dimension where you're regularly reviewing it. Because the number one thing that happens when there's communication failure in e-commerce, whether you're an Amazon seller or Shopify seller, fraud. Fraud is the number one thing. On a Shopify site, it would be credit card fraud. In case of Amazon, the number one fraud is inventory theft, is number one. Meaning that, you know, the 1,000 units of Rolex, you know, whatever watches you bought, and you cannot find it anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Inventory
I know.
Theft it is happened fraud. To me. You know, that happens, right? So
yeah,
you have to, one, it's not a blame game on Monday mornings. It's about accountability and responsibility and getting things done and communication. And adaptability. The more you get better at this dimension, the more people will be happy to be working with you, right? Working for you, working with you, partnering with you, and so on and so forth. So this eight dimension is really critical, because you could be great at the other seven dimensions, because those are all technical skill sets, right?
Yeah.
But this is the number eight is the softer thing you need to do. And I see the biggest failure, the gaping hole among most Amazon sellers.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's what one of the main reasons why we as agencies exist, because they come to us because unfortunately the teams are not performing, right? They've been having some people in house, or they've been trying to do things with the own circle, and things just don't evolve as they wanted. And you know, when a proper team comes in-house and then knows how to execute, like I have seen it like all the time. It's day and night, the comparison is super important. Now, something I have a question for you, given that we're coming towards an end, is in which order, like maybe the order, of course, will follow the number from 1 to 8, but is there a specific order that maybe you would recommend besides that? Or you always will say you always need to go from 1 to 8 to make things really work?
Well, 1 through 8 is the right order, the order yeah. that we went through during this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is the right order, but some things are, you start them, but it doesn't mean overlap. They end.
Mm-hmm.
They overlap. Mm-hmm. Like performance optimization is an ongoing thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Logistics is an ongoing thing. Team and communication starts on day zero, mm-hmm. right? On day zero through these 12 weeks, right? But,
nice.
You know, the first 4 or 5 dimensions should be done in the first 7 weeks, roughly, right? But as long as you're doing it diligently during those times, and if you, you know, that's why one of the reasons we have, like to your point, what you just said, that's why they come to us, you know, consultants and advisory firms and agencies, right? So we have that Rapid 2X Accelerator program. It's limited to a small number of group of people, but they pay their way into being part of it so that I actually handhold them as a group for Fast the track. 12 weeks to make sure that it's mm-hmm. being executed correctly for those 12 weeks. In the first 7 weeks, it's the first 5 dimensions. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But team is always part of it. It comes and goes, but then we accelerate it even more so that after the 7th week from week eight through week 12 is when we actually focus even more hardcore, deeper dive into tech, into logistics, into the team. Right. Because the thing is, you know, I've come across amazing WooCommerce sites. I've come across very good brand stores and stuff like that. And the tech, they had the subscription to, they've been paying mm-hmm. for Helium 10 for 3 years.
Yeah.
What are you doing with it? Nothing. Why are you paying for it then?
I know.
But I know. Not to say they should cancel
that's
it.
That's why SaaS is so profitable business.
They should use it correctly, right? That's the point of the, when we get to the tech part of it, right? But before we get to the tech, we do look at, in case of Amazon sellers, we do look at the Amazon Seller Central and making sure that they are utilizing the Seller Central correctly before they add, we take a deeper dive into the tech stack in that scenario or logistics in for that matter, right? And then the final week is when we are going through the team, making sure that we're optimizing the team because we don't want to, one thing I hate doing is blaming people because in most cases, what I see is the process is broken. I see mm-hmm. that you're missing a big component of it and it has nothing to do with the person, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, as a business owner, you didn't know any better, right? Or you knew, but you couldn't afford it, you know, for whatever reason. But you couldn't afford it when you began the business and it was $100,000 business. Now you're $500,000 business as an Amazon seller. Okay, things are different. You're 5 times bigger now. And as part of the Rapid 2X program, you are not a $500,000 business. You're $1 million business now. You're living a different life now, you know, as a seller. So things that were true at the beginning are not true anymore. So mm-hmm. context matters. The time matters where you are in your journey as a seller, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's Shopify or Amazon. So that's the advice I leave you with. And what I want to do is, even though we have shared quite a lot here, with the mm-hmm. with the live workshop that I mentioned in the first part, I do want to say it again. We do these live workshops so that these are not webinars. It's not pre-recorded. I actually appear live, mm-hmm. and I ask the audience, like, what business are you in? You know, where are you in your journey? And when we go through the case studies and go more in depth into results and everything else like that, in that live workshop, I actually utilize some of the people when the audience actually shares who they are. And I actually use those examples as I'm discussing these 8 dimensions to be very specific. And it's a very interactive live workshop. And I encourage people to go to, and you could include it in the show notes, the link to growthbysphere.com/workshop. So they should definitely sign up. And from there, they get invited to join a community that I have of like-minded 7 and 8 and 9 figure e-com sellers, both Amazon sellers and Shopify and DTC sellers.
Awesome. So, Sabir, it's been such a pleasure to have you twice on my podcast. Thank you so much for your knowledge.
Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you so much. I'm sure people is going to get so much knowledge out of these two parts. And you know, I'm sure everybody listening and watching, please make sure you check the show notes. I'm going to make sure I put all the information so you can reach out to Sabir and his program and his book. And in the meantime, I thank you once again, and I'm sure this is going to be the first series of many, because this is always an evolving space, and I'm sure 1 year from now, things are going to be even more exciting when it comes to strategy, and I can't wait to have you there. Yeah? So thank you, Sabir.
Thank you, Vincenzo, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a nice one. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.